and welcome to Dealcast, the voice of Merger Market, the world's premier publication about mergers and acquisitions. I'm Juliana Needham, a business journalist who's covered M&A for a decade. In this episode, we're going underground. We're talking mining and looking at how Middle Eastern sovereign wealth funds are on the hunt for investments. To find out more, I'm joined by Patrick Harris, who is a senior editor for Merger Market. Hi, Patrick. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Juliana.
So can we start with looking at the lay of the land? Where are we past the midpoint of 2025? What's the global mining dealscape looking like?
So far this year, the mining deal kind of volumes and values haven't really been all that stellar. It's been roughly on par with last year. So we're looking about $35 billion worth of deals in the first half of 2025, compared to $36.8 billion in the first half of 2024. I think what that is, though, it's a continued kind of hangover from the very high volumes and values that we had through 2022 and 2023, where high commodity price environment and coming out of COVID and the subsequent bounce back really did catalyze a lot of deal flow in the mining space. So now we're kind of in a bit of a lull in some respects, but there's still quite a lot of activity going on and expected. Largely, if you look back at 2022 and 2023, those years were some of the kind of most active mining years that there has been for decades. So we're talking about $96 billion worth in 2022, $73 billion worth in 23. And last year, actually, even though the first half was roughly on par with now, ended up a very large year at $80 billion. So we're probably on target probably for a somewhat lower year this year. But at the same time, like I said, there are some really interesting deals in the pipeline and some really kind of structural mega merger potential to happen. But at the same time, at the moment, a little bit quiet.
So we're here to talk about the trend of Middle Eastern sovereign wealth funds investing in mining assets. Could you give us an overview of the trend, explain the rationale? Why are Middle East investors doing this now?
So Middle Eastern investors looking at mining, in some respects, mirrors what's been happening in oil and gas. You've got an incredible amount of capital in the Middle East, so we're talking about sovereign wealth funds, but I also include that to include kind of high net worth funds, funds that are backed by royal families and that kind of thing. But what they're trying to do is, there's four things really. There's domestication of expertise and the supply chain to the Middle East and using M&A to do that. There's security of supply. And so that's around getting hold of and having security of the critical commodities needed for primarily the energy transition, but more broadly as well, just in terms of the commodities that are seen as important for the long-term future of a global economy. And then there's about diversification. So that's around, taking the money that has primarily come from oil and gas and investing it into other markets, other commodities, as a hedge against the oil and gas cyclicality of the oil and gas market. Now, of course, mining is cyclical as well. But as we know, different commodities have different cycles. So the idea of investing into different commodities is very much a hedge against that single being tied to that single cycle of the oil and gas market. And then very importantly as well is one of the key drivers to this flow of capital from the Middle East to mining is opportunism. And that's very much driven by stepping into the shoes of the Western mining majors, where either the commodity itself or the location where the assets are perceived to be undervalued. And could be somewhat of a problem child for the mining majors. So really here we're talking about things like coal, and we're talking about geographies that where there could be political instability or issues where the government's profile does not sit well with listed Western investors. You know, these assets are primarily loved by the mining majors, but they know that there's a limited pool of buyers of those businesses, whereas the Middle Eastern funds are maybe a slightly more pragmatic on those issues.
And can you talk through those commodities? What are the commodities that they're interested in and those commodities needed for the energy transition and for the diversification of the Middle Eastern sovereign wealth funds and their kind of wider organisations?
Yeah, so I think it is very much opportunistic in many respects. But if we look at, say, the energy transition, then yeah, things like cobalt, nickel, lithium, all these minerals that are used in electrification are very much kind of the target assets that the Middle Eastern funds are looking at. And copper as well, which is a key commodity for electrification and a very hot area for M&A at the moment. I think it is important, though, that to think about where these guys can get value as well. And so, you know, if we look at some of the precedent deals that have happened that follow this trend, we're talking about, you know, Middle Eastern funds looking at things in, say, Africa or in Asia, where perhaps in geographies that the mining majors are looking to retreat from. So one really standout investor that pops up a lot in this trend is IRH, which is backed by the Abu Dhabi royal family. I think it was in 2023, they acquired the Mopani copper mines in Zambia for about just over $1 billion. They then went on to buy a tin mine in DRC for about $360 million. So, yeah, that's very typical of the trend that we're seeing and of them stepping into these places that maybe not so much Zambia, but obviously DRC very much so, where, you know, Western miners are increasingly fearing to tread, but also targeting these commodities that, when you look at the future of the energy transition, but yes, broadly in terms of what are the commodities that are needed to build, it's a bit of a cliche, but, you know, to build the world of tomorrow, you know, it's these rare earths and these metals that are used for electrification and this kind of stuff.
So you mentioned one deal there. Can you talk through any other significant deals that have been completed recently?
Yeah, it's not just at the asset level, but also at the corporate level as well. So you've seen the Qatari Sovereign Wealth Fund invest $180 million in TechMet, an Irish lithium battery company and mining company. And you've seen as well, which I think is a really interesting bellwether deal, is ADQ, which is Abu Dhabi Sovereign Wealth Fund, related to ADIA, the investment authority. They've done a joint venture with Orion, the mining private equity. And that JV, which is valued at $1.2 billion, is looking at critical minerals in Africa, Asia, and LATAM. Although that hasn't, as far as I'm aware, made any acquisitions yet, that is real. Really, kind of a bellwether, I'd say, for future deal making and how it might work, where you've got Western expertise on the mining investing side, pairing with Middle Eastern money.
You mentioned earlier about the Middle East developing its own expertise. Could you talk through its resources? Obviously, it's a region with huge amounts of oil and gas reserves, but what about the mining resources?
It's interesting because obviously, yeah, we do think of the Middle East as the home of oil and gas. But yeah, that's a lot of land mass, especially in particular in Saudi Arabia, where the public investment fund, PIF, you know, they've commissioned reports that claim that beneath the sands there's deposits of bauxite, of copper, of phosphate, of rare earths. And yeah, I think it's something like $2.5 trillion worth of mineral resources is estimated to be in Saudi Arabia or under Saudi Arabia. Now, you know, that's not been proven. But yeah, there is a degree of domestic resource that is there to be tapped. Now, it's probably fair to say that in the past, with the immediate low-hanging fruit of oil and gas, that those resources probably were somewhat in the shadow. But perhaps as now we look at maybe a world with less oil and gas, this is an area of local domestic diversification that the Middle Eastern funds and strategics would look to exploit. In Saudi Arabia, you have Ma'aden, if I pronounce it correctly, bauxite, Ma'aden, aluminium, which is, and Saudi Arabian mining, which are all backed by PIF, and are looking at domestic development as well as at outbound investment as well. That said, I think the real theme is there's a limit to in terms of the domestic production that is likely to occur, and a really interesting story is around this, them following the same trends as they've followed in oil and gas, in terms of, yeah, in the past, the national oil companies, the sovereign wealth funds would sit beside the oil and gas majors and be kind of passive investors, and whether it's in local domestic production or abroad, but increasingly you've seen it. And you're seeing it with things like, especially in the chemicals market as well, in the downstream, but also in the upstream of oil and gas, you're seeing them coming in as the actual operator and owner of assets and businesses. And I think this will happen in mining too. And that where instead of just being passive investors, you'll increasingly see these funds coming in and actually being active investors, active owners of assets.
We are nearly out of time. I just wanted to go back to something you said at the beginning, and it feels like a good place to end on. You mentioned there might be some mega deals on the horizon. So kind of zooming out of the Middle Eastern investors, what about those mega deals? What can we expect to see in this year, maybe going into next year?
Well, I think they are linked. So if you think of, you know, and then what we're likely to see in the next phase of mining major M&A, these Middle East sovereign wealth funds and related funds are going to be there to consolidate the assets which don't fit in that game of Tetris. If we look at Glencore, for example, you know, there's the perpetual question of what could it do with the coal. Now, whether it would be kind of carved out and put on the public markets or sold through M&A, there's a restricted pool of investors into that business, for example. Now, but these guys from the Middle East, you know, they have a longer term view than many of the Western miners, and they're short term, kind of short horizon investors, which means that they can look at these assets and they can take on more risk on some of these commodities than perhaps others can. So I think they will play a big part in that next phase of mega mergers in mining, whether that, you know, it's a perpetual question, isn't it? You know, when you're looking at M&A in a cyclical industry, you know, is that going to happen in the next 6 months or in the next 12 months or the next 24 months? I think probably in the next 12 months, we're going to see some big deals happening again. Things like Glencore, things like Anglo American, where, you know, with the ongoing sale of De Beers, and such, you know, there's questions about whether or not that might reopen to offers from BHP or others, as, you know, things take time, as time goes on and portfolios change, things become more active again. But I do very much also see that, you know, the Middle Eastern funds might also start looking at some of the undervalued mid-market stocks as well, especially in places like Canada and the UK on the LSE and in Toronto, where there's a general sense that things are undervalued. And so, you know, opportunistic buyouts and delistings, you know, that could be a possibility as well. Especially again, if the assets are in places that are just not being appreciated by the investors, and which would find a much better home with people that have a more pragmatic approach to mineral extraction and all that that entails, and the slightly murky processes that requires.
Well, hopefully there'll be some mega deals on the horizon, and we will look forward to speaking to you again about those, Patrick. Good to talk to you. Thanks very much. That was Patrick Harris, who is a senior editor for Merger Market. And just to point out, we're recording this on Tuesday, the 29th of July. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Dealcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please follow it. And if you're listening through Apple, please give us a rating and review. If you'd like to find out more about what we've been talking about on this episode, have a look at our show notes. Join us again next week.